The second Sunday in Lent, the epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brethren, even as you have learned from us how you ought to walk to please God, and as indeed you are walking, we beseech and exhort you in the Lord Jesus to make even greater progress. For you know what precepts I have given you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from immorality, that every one of you learn how to possess his vessel in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles, who do not know God, that no one transgresses and overreach his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things. As we have told you before and have testified, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gospel is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves and was transfigured before them, and his face shone as the sun and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking together with him. Then Peter addressed Jesus, saying, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us set up three tents here, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And as he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And on hearing it, the disciples fell on their faces and were exceedingly afraid. And Jesus came near and touched them and said to them, Arise and do not be afraid. But lifting up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus cautioned them, saying, Tell the vision to no one till the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In today's gospel, our Lord is transfigured before the apostles. He transforms and becomes dazzling bright. Light is emanating from him. It says his face is brighter than the sun, or is like the sun. This is because of the charity within his soul. Normally, he should be like this, and this is how he is in heaven. The glory of the divinity united to his humanity, and the charity radiates out. The charity on the spiritual level overflows, and it affects the material, the body, so that he is luminous. And this is how he would appear normally, but he hides that for the sake of the apostles, for the sake of the people, so that they would see him and be able to learn from him. But this is the way he is now, resurrected. And this is what we will be, not like him, not exactly like him, but to the degree we have charity within our heart, to that degree it overflows into our body in the resurrection, and we will also imitate Christ. Christ is the firstborn of the resurrected, and so we will be like him. But St. Paul gives us a warning in today's epistle. He says that we are to carry ourselves, to carry our body, as he taught, as he says, that we are to abstain from the immorality of the Gentiles, the immorality around them. And we have to remember this, that as Catholics, we teach that the body is a good thing. It is a good. And we will be united to our bodies for all eternity in heaven. Sometimes Christians think that the body is bad and we have to shun everything that's material. No, the body is good, but we have to learn how to carry it, as St. Paul says. What does he say? That every one of you learn how to possess his vessel, his body, in holiness and honor, and not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. For this is the will of God. What is it? Your sanctification. What does that word sanctification mean? It means to become holy. Sanctification comes from the word sanctus, which we say at Mass. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We are to be like Him. We are to be holy. That's the will of God. And that in order to do that, one of the things we have to do is to put off the immorality. To put it off. To beware of the immorality around us. The Gentiles back in the ancient world practice all kind of sexual immorality. And how much that has come back in today's world, in today's society. 50 years ago, 60 years ago, our society was a Christian one. Now we are no longer Christian. That these immoralities are held up as the model for people to live by. And we have to recognize this. And we have to resist this. You know, the church condemns pornography. And it's very common in our world today. What is pornography? In the New Catechism, pornography is defined as taking images, videos of things, of those things that are done in private, and displaying them for others. This can be a photo, or this can be a video. And this is more than just the marital act. We have to be clear on this. Anything, those things that you wouldn't normally see, and if we eliminate all television, all movies, all magazine, all images, and you go through life, you wouldn't see the things that happen behind closed doors. And that, those things that happen behind closed doors, that, those are the images that we shouldn't see in movies and magazines. If we think about it that way, that is what pornography is. So when we really think about it, a lot of movies, even television, shows things that they shouldn't be seeing. That it's not just the marital act, but it's other things also. We have to recognize this and to protect ourselves from this. And we have to protect our children from this, from these images. But there is also more than just that. There is also impure images. And these can be photos, or again, videos of you know, really, these would be like glamorous photos, or you know, celebrity photos, or anything like that. Photos that are not modest. Again, would we normally dress this way? Would we normally behave this way as good Catholics? No. So we should turn away from those photos also. The church teaches that all acts outside of marriage, that is, one man and one woman in the sacrament for life, all sexual acts outside of marriage are sinful. Doesn't matter who it is, it's only within marriage. And when we talk about that, we have to remember, again, like I said earlier, that that doesn't mean that those acts are somehow dirty or wrong in all cases. No, in marriage, it's a beautiful gift to us. It is the way in which we imitate God. God calls us, He created us, to participate in His creative action. And it is a very, very good thing. It is a great grace given to our nature. Angels don't do this, but we create with God, procreation. But that's only for marriage. And that these actions are only for that. It is something sacred. It is something holy. If we really think about this, this is something that God does. He's the creator. And that within a marriage, they participate in that creation. It is holy. And so we have to respect it by not displaying it, by not having these type of images. Now, we live in a society that doesn't hold to that. They hold that this is something that we can do and it's a form of recreation, and that we should use our bodies to for our enjoyment. No. We can't do that. And although we can talk about how to transform society, we just want to right now look at how we are to live in society. We have to resist these things. We have to turn away. You have to avert your eyes. What are the virtues that we have to practice? First of all, modesty. Modesty is the virtue that governs the small things. Sometimes temptations can arise from the smallest little thing. Half-second vision of a picture, or maybe something someone does, or the way someone's dressed. It might just be something small, but it can be a great temptation. And so we have to carry ourselves modestly so that we don't become a temptation for others. Also, we need to pray for chastity or purity. What is this virtue? This is the virtue within us that we will not be tempted by these things. That if we were to see an image or hear something or tempted, we don't have that desire for it, that impurity. This is chastity or purity. This is the more perfect virtue, and this is what everyone should strive for. However, oftentimes because of past sins or because of our fallen nature, that when we're presented with an image, that there can be a powerful attraction towards the sin. And so we have to pray for the virtue of continence. Continence is the virtue that even though we might be attracted to this sin, that we can say no to it. And so continence and chastity go hand in hand. Chastity is the more perfect one. Purity is the more perfect one. However, until we reach that point, pray for continence, the ability to say no. Yes, you'll be troubled inside, be greatly tempted, but continence will protect you from the sin, will be able to prevent you from committing the sin. And then also, we have to pray for the grace of custody of the eyes. Custody of the eyes. We can think about custody. You can have custody of a little child, and so you have authority over it, and you can tell, say, what the child's supposed to do. Well, custody of the eyes is the grace by which we have authority over our eyes. That sometimes these images can be like magnets, and the eyes are just irresistibly drawn towards them. Well, custody is the ability for the soul to say, no, you are not looking at that. Avert your eyes. As you drive down the road, I knew someone who said, I have to hold my hand up like this as I pass by a billboard sometimes. Because they found that billboard attractive and they had to practice custody of the eyes. They knew it every day they drove to work. But they had to practice that to prevent the temptation. This is what we have to pray for. These are the virtues for us to pray for. Now, also there are other things to pray for. We should, or I shouldn't say things, or other techniques. Well, first of all, I should say we should pray to St. Joseph. Men especially, pray to St. Joseph. St. Joseph is the perfect model of manhood. He was the model of man for our Lord. And so he had all these virtues. And so men should look to St. Joseph to help them. But we need to be clear that these sins are not particular sins or sins particular to men. They affect both sexes. And especially addiction to sinful images. That sometimes we think that's mainly an issue with men. No, both men and women can fall into that. Men tend to fall into it more, but women can fall into that type of addiction also. So we should pray to St. Joseph for custody of the eyes, to be able to say no, for continence and purity. And of course, pray to Our Lady. The most pure Blessed Virgin Mary, our Mother, wants us to be pure. She wants us to be the vessel of holiness, to imitate her Son. Other techniques are when the temptation first begins, we should recognize our patterns and see that beginning of the temptation in order to address it immediately. These type of sins, the longer they fester within our mind, the harder they are to push out. Some sins you have to concentrate on in order to fight them. Sloth is one of them. You can't let sloth, you don't push sloth away. You have to concentrate on it in order to defeat sloth. But these sins of impurity are not that way. The one who has victory is the one who flees the battlefield. And the sooner we flee, the easier the victory. And so recognize your temptation. Taimet nosce, as we say in Latin. Know thyself. Know your pattern. Know what tempts you. And then pray for the grace to be able to say no to it, to push it away, to avert your eyes. Now, when the temptation is within already in your head, pray to St. Joseph, as I said, Our Lady. But there are other prayers. The Sanctus prayer we say at Mass. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, either in English or Latin. This is a powerful prayer to push out any sinful thought in your head. Why is that? Because that is the prayer of the angels in heaven worshiping God. This is the prayer that Satan refuses to say, and all the devils, they refuse to say it. This is the prayer in heaven, and they refuse to worship God. So, when tempted, if you say that prayer, and even in your head, if you're with people, it might be better to just do it silently than to break out into Sanctus in the middle of a crowd. But the sinful thought cannot remain there. And just as the devil flees from it, so sinful temptations will flee. Now, it's important to remember that once that flees, we can always invite it back in 2 seconds after we're done with that prayer. So we have to realize that. But that, to say that 3 times, as I said, is a powerful remedy. Also, another prayer is the refrain to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, to just say, for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. You address that to the Father. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Say it prayerfully, meditating upon the words. And again, the sinful thought will flee, will dissipate. These are things that we can do when already we're trapped with a sinful thought. The other things to avert our eyes are to try to avoid the inflammation of that thought, to resist sinful images, to not look at sinful movies or magazines. But then, if we do fall, the temptation's there, these are powerful techniques. And then we should also, in a sense, inoculate ourselves. Pray for the grace of purity, as I said. But we should be praying for it even when we're not tempted. Preparing for the moment when the temptation comes. Hopefully everyone here wears a scapular or a miraculous medal. Kiss your scapular every day and ask Our Lady for the grace that you need. Purity, continence, custody of the eyes, and ask for those graces then, so that when the temptation comes, you will already be armed to push it off. We live in a society that embraces these sins, that they say they are good. We're in, as they say, a post-Christian society. They no longer support marriage as between one man and one woman for life. But now all this activity is permitted. We must not be like them. Our world is so much like the world that St. Paul is writing about. He says, every one of us, every one of you, learn how to possess your vessel, your body, in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, not in the passion of lust like those other people who do not know God, our society. And so, let us then pray for the grace that we need. We look to our Lord and His glorified body. He is the first of the resurrected, and we will follow Him if we're worthy. The body is something good. The body is how we imitate God. And so, let us pray that we then are able to carry ourselves with holiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.